We want to continue to pray for our pastor and his family as they are on a time of refreshing. I want to say thank you for those of you who have blessed my family with the meals over the past week. We appreciate that. Thank you for your service in that regard. We pray the Lord will bless you for it. John chapter 8, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Why don't you go ahead and stand together. You know, it's interesting. I was going to title this message, I was going to use the words divine acquittal. And when I thought of that, I remembered that there was another sermon with that same title. And so I looked it up on Google, and it was Brother Jones had preached a message titled The Divine Acquittal. And he actually did it a year ago this Sunday. And the texts are different, the messages are different, and I didn't use his title, so I didn't steal anything from him. But I just found it interesting that the Lord would see fit to lay the same theme on my heart today. Who knows, maybe this is the one Sunday a year somebody comes to church, I don't know, and they need to hear about it. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. And now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And then we have a little phrase here that's not in the original, but it's implied. As though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning when Jesus said, Not guilty. When Jesus said, not guilty. Pray with me if you will. Lord, I love you and I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you, Lord, that you made a way on the cross for us to escape the punishment that was duly ours. Lord, we deserve the cross. We deserved hell. But Jesus, you went and you took that sin upon yourself, he who knew no sin, so that we could be called not guilty. And Lord, I pray today throughout this sermon, Lord, that your desire to reach for the heart that feels the accusation of the enemy. Lord, those who are living in condemnation today and those who have yet to repent and feel the guilt of sin, I pray they would find justification and peace in you today. Love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated today. Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Olives, and most likely he was there for a season of prayer. And he's come down refreshed in the presence of his Father. No doubt he's come down to teach in the temple. And while he's sitting there with a group around him having what we would call a Bible study, just teaching them there, while the lesson was going on, a group of men walk in and burst in on the scene, and they bring a woman and they place her right in the middle of the Bible study group. And they begin to point their fingers at her. Let me introduce to you this group of men, if I may, today. They are Pharisees. Everybody say a Pharisee. And we're going to call the Pharisees the accusers, all right? The accusers. Brother Smith, can you help me out this morning? I appreciate your help today. Now, Brother Smith, his job today, he's going to be the eldest Pharisee. And Brother Smith, I've got a bucket full of stones, okay? We're going to get ready to have an old-fashioned stoning. And here you go. Go get you five or six, seven guys and some accusers. You know, the Pharisees, let me tell you some things about them. They were all men. And when you guys get together, you can meet up over here in this area, all right? Over here on my left, you're right. They were a group of men. They were all men. And they were of various ages. There was older and there was younger involved in the thing that day. And they had just caught a couple in the act of adultery. Now, the motive of these Pharisees was not to uphold the law that day. Rather, their goal was to tempt and to tease the Lord with this young lady. If you've got a stone, go ahead and come up here. You're supposed to be with him. You're his Pharisee group, the accusers. They brought this girl to tease and to tempt the Lord. They're not interested really in upholding the Mosaic law. What they're trying to do is trip up Jesus in something so they can have something to accuse him with. All right? And so they bring to him this girl. Sister Deja, where are you at? Come help me, Sister Deja. Sister Deja is going to be the girl. This is not an indictment on Deja, okay? She's just being here as an illustration. So Deja, you're going to stand right here in the middle. Everybody look at Deja. Everybody wave at Deja. She's nervous, all right. Now she's not. She's good now. Here she is, the girl, the bait. She's going to be the accused. Man, we got a lot of Pharisees. Wow, I'm scared. Are you scared? They got some good stones, too. I picked out the good ones, so yeah. You know, this morning you might be in either one of these groups. We're not going to preach too much to those of you who are accusers today, all right? We're going to save that for another day. But I want to talk to the accused for a little while. Those of you who Christ is reaching for your heart this morning. And we'll get to Deja's character here in just a second. But let's continue to go over the fellows over here and get to know them a little bit. See, these guys, there were holes in your judgment. Did you know that, Seth? There was holes in your judgment. See, you guys thought, you know, let's take somebody we catch in adultery, but they only brought the woman. I've always wondered, where is the man? It takes two to tango. Where's the man? Max Licato asked that question, and he says, well, maybe he was able to get up and run away. Most likely, he was part of a trap that they had set for this young lady. These men, these Pharisees, these accusers, they were blind to their own issues. You know, Jesus talked about how people can see the speck in their brother's eye, but they miss the beam in their own eye. And that's what these Pharisees were. All they could see was a way to trip up the one who had come to save them. And so they say, Master, we've caught her in the act. Here she is. She's guilty. And another piped up and said, yeah, yeah. And Moses said, stone her. Let's kill her. They were thirsty for blood. But notice they weren't really thirsty for her blood. They were trying to get to the Savior. And they said, what do you think we should do, Jesus? Moses said she deserves to be stoned. What do you think we should do? Listen, this group over here, they looked good. Y'all look nice today. You do. We got nice ties and suits. And they looked good. They had the right clothing. They followed the law before all the people. Their relationships with people outside. Their outward appearance was spotless. But their hearts were so empty of the truth. And they were blinded by Satan. You know, the Pharisees, they were hurting people more than they were helping people. They didn't even know it. Is that you this morning? Hopefully not. But I know somebody in here today, you've fallen into the category of the accused. Let me say this morning. You don't need to stay there for too long. All right? There's a man named Jesus who's ready to help you. But those Pharisees, they said, look at her. Look at her. To her, to them, she was nothing more than a piece of meat. I mean, to the passerby on the street, they looked at her. Man, she was in the midst of that crowd. They said, oh, man, we can't look at that girl. She's a bad person. She had a tainted past and a tattered soul. She was broken. She was refused and rejected. Look at her. She's so broken. She had to settle for a second-rate relationship with a married man. It's disgusting. She's immoral. She's unholy. And she's guilty. Everybody say she's guilty. Look at her. I'm positive, probably like Deja wants to do right now, that girl wanted to hide. At that moment in her life, she would have wanted nothing more than to fade into the background of the scene. And if there was a way to escape, she most definitely would have taken it. But here she is, though, her sin exposed, accused, and guilty. And these guys over here, are you ready? You guys act like you're ready, man. I don't know if that's what they did, but they're ready over there. Jesus, you say the word, we'll take her out. I mean, I wonder what they would, if Jesus would have said, yeah, go ahead, take her. Take her out. Kill her. I mean, they might have been like, wow, he's not as bad as we. But that's not who Jesus was. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about the response of Jesus. And I'm going to let these guys sit down here in just a minute. So stay with me. Are you okay? You need a chair? Okay. All right. But when Jesus responded, the way he responded showed us a few things here. I want you to see his response showed us the true interest of Jesus. See, Jesus was not interested in their accusations, even though they were true. And that's pretty crazy to me. They had the truth, and God is the God of all truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. And they were speaking truth. She sinned. She's guilty. But Jesus, the Bible says, when they began to speak to him, what did he do? He acted as if he heard them not. She was definitely guilty. She had been caught. And in order for somebody to be accused of such an act, there would have to have been more than one witness. So multiple people were saying she's caught in the act of adultery. She's dead to rights. She's worthy of death, according to the law of God. But Jesus was not interested in the accusations, no matter how true they were. Praise the Lord. Jesus' interest was in the thoughts and the intents within the heart. Listen, that's the thing that people often get hung up on. They look at the outward appearance and they look on the outside and all that. But Jesus is all the time more interested in the things going on inside of you. God has a way of looking deeper into the things that man cannot see. I want you to notice the spirit of the law here. The spirit of the law is what Jesus was interested in, not just the law itself. See, the spirit of the law is when Jesus, he went beyond the law and he said, you know, it says not to commit adultery. But he said, if you look at a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery. Jesus was trying to get to the spirit of the law. And if you read in Leviticus, in the Pentateuch there, you find a lot of detailed outline scenarios and laws that God gave to his people. But the spirit of the law and the deep parts that Christ came to fulfill, God wasn't trying to make a list of do's and don'ts. He was trying to preserve his people from unholy things. And the Pharisees were interested in destroying Jesus. They were interested in destroying this woman. But Christ is always interested in the preservation of the soul. I remember one time, let me tell you a story, and it's going to convict me. But I remember one time I went to pick up some kids on the church van. It was about our first or second year here, and we were starting to boom in our van ministry there on Wednesday nights. We had to pick up another van, and we were picking kids up all the time, man. And And one day, one of the boys said, "Hey, Brother Cruz, one of my friends wants to come to church." And so I said, "Okay, we can go get her." And she walked out of her house to come into the van. And when I saw her, I was like, "Oh, no. What have I got myself into?" Immediately, the Lord convicted my spirit because I labeled that girl based on her appearance. And on the way to church that night, while I'm driving those kids and I'm talking to them inside my heart, I'm battling. I'm like, "Cruz, you're the worst person in the world." And I'm repenting and I'm like, "God, I'm sorry. I'll never do that again." But that girl, I can't remember her name, but she started coming. She came for a few weeks and she was a real sweet girl. She's real nice. And one day, back there on Wednesday night, we were having a move of God. I'm going to talk to you real quick. These Pharisees, they had labeled this girl right here. Okay? And sometimes we label people, and we shouldn't do that. But this girl, she was in one of our youth services back there, and I had moved beyond that day, and I had repented of it, and the Lord helped me get through that, and that was a little confession from my heart to you. But I remember we were having a great service back there in the PFL room, and the Lord began to fall there in the service, and the young people were crying, and they were praising the Lord, and some were speaking in tongues, and God was moving, and I looked back at that girl, and she was surrounded by a few of her friends. They were just kind of, the boys were just kind of goofing off, but she was standing there just real still. And I went back there and I began to talk to her. I said, "Hey, Jesus wants to save you. I know these guys are joking around with you." And that's what I told her. I said, "But Jesus wants to save you." And I watched her. She began to cry because she knew that there was a God who was interested in her. And I want you to know, God today is not interested in the labels that you wear. He is not interested in the occupation that you've had in the past. He's not interested in where you've come from. Rather, Jesus is interested in your soul today and where He can take you to. You might say, "I've been accused and I'm guilty of what I've done." But listen, God is not interested in that. He's interested in you. You know, if God was interested in destroying people, He would have done it with Adam and Eve as soon as they sinned. But they're in the Garden of Eden rather than starting over, which is what most of us would have done. And I've heard preachers say that's what you should do. Oh, but that's not what God would do. God made a way for Adam and Eve to find redemption and covering. Amen. And that's what the Levitical and Mosaic law was all about. It wasn't just about a law of do's and don'ts. Rather, it was God taking drastic measures to try to preserve His people. Because that is what God is interested in. He's not interested in you going to hell and serving the punishment. Rather, He's interested in saving your soul and bringing you back. Amen. I think sometimes we get saved and we forget all about that stuff. And we begin to look at people and say, why are they doing that? Why are they acting like that? Why are they saying those words? Why are they wearing those clothes? Why are they going to those places? Well, a lot of times it's because they have some things in their hearts they haven't dealt with yet. And God might just want to use you to help them rip off the label. And the Pharisees, they labeled her, "Oh, she's worthy of death. Let's get rid of her. Let's kill her." You know, if you read through the book of Jonah, I'm going to try to move past this real quick here. But if you look in the book of Jonah, a lot of times we focus on Jonah and the well. But listen, the most important part of that story was that God sent Jonah to a wicked people so He could save them. And that wicked group had revival and had a turning back to the Lord. And even though Jonah said, "God, I knew You would save them. I knew You'd be merciful. And I didn't want to go." Oh, praise the Lord that He is merciful, but God, help me not to be like Jonah. God's interested in you this morning. I mean, even in the way that He handled the Pharisees in the text, we see that He was trying to get deep into your hearts. Timmy, He was. He was trying, when He talked to the Pharisees, man, His response, He said, "Hey, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." That's pretty powerful, Brother Smith. Jesus wouldn't even let the Pharisees go without Him touching their hearts. And the Bible says that their consciences began to convict them. condemn them or to tattle on them. Anybody like a tattletale? No. But man, their conscience began to say, hey, you're guilty. The Bible said one by one, Brother Smith, I think you're the eldest. Said one by one, they would drop their stones and they walk away from the eldest down to the youngest. Who's the next oldest? Oh, Brother Don. Oh, man. You guys, after you drop your stones, you can be seated. See, God was trying to remove the accusations and remove the labels of her past. See, because he was interested in this young lady's soul. Why? Because he loved her, even though she was guilty. He loved her. And this morning, he loves you. He's interested in your present and in your future. He's not interested in your past. He's interested in you, even in your brokenness. Can I hear an amen? Day's almost done with you, okay? I want you to notice his intent. His interest was in the girl's soul and preserving that. Now his intent, it was just Jesus and the accused. Now those voices saying, look at her sin, look at her filth, look at her past, look at her guilt, they're gone. And they've given way to that wonderful silence that often accompanies our time in the presence of the King. His intent was this, and his intent with you today is this. He wants to move you away from your immediate past because he wants to move you forward into his plan for your life. That girl's immediate past was adultery. And Jesus, he could have said, you know what? They were right. You're guilty. Get down on your knees and pray, or I'm going to just call down fire from him. No. That's not what he did. He wanted her to get past the things that she was dealing with and move forward. There was an attempt from these men to rob her of her opportunity at grace and mercy, but Jesus said no, and I'm so glad that he did. Hallelujah. Jesus said no, and that's a powerful testament. God intends to give us his best when we deserve the worst. Can I hear an amen? Y'all got to help me this morning. God intends to give us the best when we deserve his worst. And that woman deserved to die. She was guilty. She was accused. And you know what I found interesting is that Jesus, what he told those men to do, when he said, hey, if you're without sin, you can cast the first stone at her. You know what? Jesus was the only man who ever lived who would have been able to do that. Yet he who without sin, that's what it says, God commended his love toward us, and that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the godly for the ungodly, amen. The one without sin could have taken the stone when they were all gone and said, okay, it's my turn now. No. Why? Because he laid aside that right so he could let this woman experience real love and mercy. And his intention all along was to throw down the gavel and say, not guilty. Isn't that awesome? Not guilty. Not guilty. He said, where are your accusers? Where are they at, Deja? Where are they at? They're not here. Well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You can be seated. Thank you. Give Deja a hand. She did a great job. She just had to stand there. Jesus, help us right now. Listen, how can it be that God says we're not guilty when we deserve hell and we deserve death and we deserve punishment? And those of you who are, you're accusing yourself, whether man or woman, you're accusing yourself of the things and deeds in your past. The devil is so good at bringing things up when we're already forgiven and making us feel condemnation for those things. He's so good at bringing a Pharisee by our way, and it happens in the church. And they remind us of the deeds we've done in the past. And something they say makes us think, man, I'll never be able to move past that problem that I had, or I'll never get past or get over that. But listen, this morning, every young person and every middle-aged person, every old person in here today, listen to me. God is wanting to help you move forward beyond the things that you've done before. He wants you to move past your yesterday because he has something great for you today. How is that possible? Because of his blood. Amen. Because of the blood that he shed on Calvary. The Bible tells us how much more then sin, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, I deserve the wrath. I deserve to die. I deserve to go to hell. But all the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He intends to use broken things. Matthew West, he sings a song called Broken Things. And I looked up the lyrics. Let me read some of them to you this morning. He said, if grace is a kingdom, I've stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all of the mistakes I've made. But I heard a whisper as heaven bent down and said, child, don't you know that the first will be last and the last get a crown? Now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring you so much more. But if it's true you use broken things, then here I am, Lord. I am yours. Hallelujah. The pages of history, they tell me it's true that it's never the perfect. It's always the ones with the scars that you use. It's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak, the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for sinners like me. And then he said, grace is a kingdom with gates open wide. There's a seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside. Hallelujah. Sister Allison, will you come to the piano this morning? We don't deserve to sit at the king's table, do we? Yet he invites us in. His interest was in the woman's soul and preservation of her. His intent was to use her in spite of her brokenness, and he gave her an invitation to come. Brandon, I'm so glad the Lord gave you an invitation to come. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he gave us an invitation? If you could write a story of your life, one thing that is always interesting is hearing the old tales from the good old days. Isn't that interesting, Stephen? Hear some people talk about things. But if you could tell us your story, no doubt there's things you'd like to hide and keep buried deep. Let me tell you, God knows those details. Everything about that young lady who was taken in the act of adultery, God knew. Jesus knew she was guilty. I mean, God even knew the other things that she had done that were wicked and wrong. Yet, something that God is so good at doing is removing the stones. I mean, the greatest stone that he ever moved was there at the tomb that day when he arose. Amen. And there might be some things he wants to remove in your life. And you're sitting there and you're carrying them and they're heavy. Listen, I might be talking to somebody who's already saved this morning. You're still carrying around the weights of your past. And you think that those things are going to keep you from moving forward. Let me tell you, God wants to remove those stones. Amen. He wants to take the weight off of you. He wants you to know, I'm not interested in the accusations. But I'm a God who can forgive and forget. He gave her an invitation. He said, go and sin no more. And you know what? This is what happens sometimes in churches where there's a few Pharisees. That person who's been accused will run out and say, I'm never going to church again. It's just politics. Those people are mean. They're mean-spirited. They look at me funny. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. And listen, if you've experienced that, I want you to know, I'm sorry. But I've gotten funny looks when I walked into Walmart before. I mean, I've heard stories that the cashiers are stealing money from people's debit cards, but I still go. The church is full of people, and sometimes people have issues. But God wants you to move past the accusations this morning. And He invites you to come. When He told that woman to go and sin no more, it wasn't just an invitation to leave. It was an invitation to follow Him and His ways. And I think the greatest thing about that story is that it shows us no matter who we are and where we've been, God wants us to follow Him. And God wants us to do good. Amen. I wish you'd hear me, especially those of you who you're not really acquainted with the Savior. You listen to me. God can do mighty things in your life when you give yourself to Him. Brother Cruz, you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know. I do not know. I don't know what you've done. And I don't need to know what you've done. I know what He did. And I know what He does. And every single person in this room, even the ones who have been saved since they were born almost, have things in their life that they had to have help to get through and had to be forgiven of. And God's reaching out for your heart this morning. I want us to stand if we can. What does God see when He looks at me? I'll tell you what He sees. He sees the blood of Jesus. And He sees not guilty. And when He looks at you this morning, those of you who you're dealing with the condemnation of the past, I want you to know if you've repented and asked Him for forgiveness, He doesn't see those things. He sees not guilty. And when you pray this morning, you just ask God, give me the strength to move beyond it so I can have those moments of dancing and laughter and joy. But those of you, you're not right with God. I want you to know He'll save you today. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll make you new. He'll destroy the labels of this world. And He'll declare not guilty. Not guilty. And those might be the two most amazing words to hear when you're a sinner. It's not guilty. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Nobody look around here. I'm going to make an appeal to those of you in here this morning. You're lost and you need a Savior. You need Jesus. And you know that there are things in your life you are so guilty of, but you want God to declare you not guilty. The only way that's going to happen is if you repent of your sins, believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and accept Him in your heart and begin to live for Him. If you want to do that today, I want you just to make your way down to the altar right now. If you would like to lay down your sin, lay down your guilt, lay down that shame, if you want to do that this morning, make your way up here. Hallelujah. He's reaching for your heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We got a couple young men coming. If that's you, listen, don't hold back. God is reaching for your heart. And He can forgive you. He can redeem you. But you have to repent and you have to admit I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And if I don't find Jesus today, I don't know what's going to happen. Listen, you'll find Him down here at the altar. I'm going to ask you again, if that's you, you'd like to give your life to Christ this morning, come forward. Don't be ashamed to do it. Jesus is not into shaming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If there's any saints who would like to come pray with these gathered around the front, Please do so now. But those of you who you're struggling with your past, you're struggling feeling guilty over things that you know you've already repented of, but you can't seem to get over that and it's been a burden to you, I want you to begin to come down to the front right now and just give it back to God. God, I know you've already got it, but I seem to be taking that weight on again. So, Lord, I'm giving it to you again. Maybe you used to be an addicted, a drug addict. Maybe you used to be an alcoholic. Maybe you used to struggle with anger. Maybe you just have had a bad attitude and you want God to change that about you. Listen, He wants to help you this morning, and He can and He will. Maybe you just feel like I'm not worthy because of where I came from. Listen, nobody belongs in that category. The cross is a beautiful picture that you have worth and value no matter who you are and no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. If that's you, you're struggling right now with things in your past, I want you to come, make your way to the altar, and let the Lord remind you you're not guilty. Let Him heal you. Let Him heal you. All right, everyone that will, just come gather around the front this morning. Let's spend some time in the presence of the Lord. So many young people up here today just trying to find love and forgiveness. Pray for them. Oh, let's just take our time in the presence of the One who is interested in our well-being and interested in our today and tomorrow, not in our past. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, use me, God. Help these young men. Help them, Jesus. Help these young ladies this morning, God. Lord Jesus, help them, God. Move beyond your past today. That's what His intent is, to move you beyond your past. Guilty.
Not guilty.
Oh, what a powerful word. Not guilty.
I know you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I love
oh,
you.
Yes, Lord. Minister right now, God, all across this place. Listen, don't get up until you know that you've got it covered. Don't get up until you know you've been redeemed. Don't get up until you know you've got the victory.
For mercy.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Not guilty. I know.